we're in lesson number 9. The next to last lesson. Lesson number 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, alright? So, grab a handout and grab a Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And this is about church life. I think we all could use a little bit on church life, because that is part of our life if we're a faithful believer. You know, you have the different parts of your life, right? All of it should be lived for the Lord, but you have your home life, you have your work life, you have your church life. And all of them are very important, aren't they? Your home life is very important, of course. Your work life, very important. And your church life is very important. And these verses, the introduction of Lesson 9, these verses give some insight into the meetings of the early church. You know, it's interesting, chapter 5, it's interesting how we want to know what the early church was like. You know, I've always thought, man, it'd be so neat to travel back in time and sit in on one of the Apostle Paul's church services. I would enjoy that. I would, you know, be taking notes and say, all right, this is how we're going to do church. But I am sure it would be very different than today. All right? You know, if we were to travel back in time and sit in on one of the Apostle Paul's services, it would be amazing probably how different it would be than what we do. Now, that's not to say that what we do is wrong. But for example, number one, there'd be no electricity. So that's one thing that'd be quite different. I don't think there'd be wooden pews like these. I don't think there would be carpet in the building Paul preached in. I don't think there'd be a piano. I don't think there would be hymnals. It would be quite different. But you know what? God's blessings was there, wasn't it? And that's all. You know, the main thing is, yeah, the other things we enjoy, the pews, the hymnals, the pianos are blessings, but the core thing is the Bible. Amen? The core thing is the Bible. You know, you go to some foreign countries even. They do church quite differently. You know, they might meet in a little shack with a tin roof and cinder blocks for walls, you know? And they might not have pews and things like that. And the floor might be dirt, okay? But they still preach the Word of God and people get fed. But church life, and these verses tell us a little bit about what church life was like. It says they included opportunity, talking about those church meetings, they included opportunity for mutual edification. Edification. That word is actually in the next sentence. Edification. Meaning building up. What did they do in the early church? Well, one thing's for sure. They built each other up when they met. That's one thing for sure. You know, we don't know what kind of songs they sang, and we don't know their order of service. Like, you know, what did they do? Did they sing two songs, pray, sing, take an offering, sing, and preach? I mean, we don't know how they did that part. But that's not the important part. The important part was they edified each other. They built each other up. And then it says, mutual encouragement and edification are still needed in every local church. Mutual encouragement. So two things. Edification, building up your faith, and encouragement. So, you know, yeah, things may have changed in the past almost 2,000 years, how we do things. But one thing hasn't changed. And it's our need for being built up in the faith. That hasn't changed. Okay? So church life. What should we have in our church life? Number one, in our church life, we need to comfort the members. Comfort the members. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. See what the Bible says? Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. See that? We are to comfort each other. That's one of the reasons we meet in church. And that's something you can't get outside of church. Many people try to replace church with other things, with the television preacher or the internet preacher or this, that, and the other preacher. But you can't replace meeting in the church with fellow believers, fellow members, people that you live with or live near and rub shoulders with that can help you and comfort you. Comfort the members. Now remember, Paul had been talking about the future, right? Chapter 4, the ending of chapter 4, last week's lesson, the beginning part of chapter 5, he's talking about the future. But letter A, Paul leaves his lessons on the future and comes back to the present. We can't live in the future. Paul leaves his lessons on the future and comes back to the present. Now, we can hope for the future. We can look forward to the future, but we can't live in the future. You have to live in the present. I like a quote I read recently. Don't plan to live. Start to live now. Oftentimes we plan to live. I'll plan to start living for God in the future. Or I'll plan to start doing the right thing. Don't plan on doing it. Do it now. Because you don't know if it's ever going to happen in the future. You don't know what we... As the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So Paul says, yes, we're looking for that blessed hope. Yes, we're waiting for the coming of Christ. But we also still have to live in the present. You see, we can't just wait for the future. And then we said, letter B, we read verse 11. A key purpose of the local church is to comfort each other. So letter B, that's a key purpose. To comfort each other. A key purpose of the local church is to comfort each other. Just encouraging one another. You know, simply by being there. Simply by lending an ear, maybe. All right, everybody has problems, and you can lend an ear to other people's problems and encourage them. Okay. And then verse 11. So it says, comfort yourselves together. And then verse 11, and edify one another. And that's letter C. We need to have our faith built up each week. We need to have our faith built up each week. Really, we need to have our faith built up every day. But we have our appointed meeting times in the week where we corporately meet to build up our faith. We need to have our faith built up each week. Let's look at some verses. Romans 14:19. And we'll ask for some folks to read that. Romans 14:19. Maybe somebody would like to read that. Romans 14:19.
Therefore follow after the things which make for peace. And things we are with one base, edify another.
See, that's what we should be looking for. We shouldn't be focusing on the things that divide. We shouldn't be focusing on the things that where we disagree. And we all have our own opinions about things, and that's fine. Right? I mean, no two people share the same exact opinions about everything. I mean, that's true everywhere in life. No two spouses share the same opinion about everything. And yet that relationship could still work. And no two people in the church are necessarily going to share the same opinion about everything, but we could still focus on the important things, right? So we need to, as that verse says, let's follow after the things which make for peace. We have enough problems, right, as it is. Let's focus on the things that make for peace. How about 1 Corinthians 10:23? We're talking about building each other up.
All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not.
And what this passage is talking about is, hey, yeah, there's certain things you could do, and you could say, well, that's just not a sin, and this and that. And okay, maybe there are certain things that aren't necessarily sinful in and of themselves, but the better question is not, can I do this and get away with it? The better question is, will this build me up in my faith? That's the better question. Too many Christians are asking the question, well, what can I get away with? That's the wrong question. The better question is, what can I do that will build me up in my faith? Don't just look for what you can get away with in the Christian life. Because those are the Christians that want to live by the edge. Right? Yeah, you got that line. And you got that line where, okay, if I step over this line, it's sin. But if I get real, I just want to get right up to the line. Yeah, guess what happens? You know, one little stumble and you're over. You're better off saying, how can I get closer to the Lord? Let me focus on the things that build me up. So that's 1 Corinthians 10:23. How about another one? Ephesians 4:29. Somebody would like to read that. Amen. Speak the words which build up. Speak words which build up. Okay? That will edify those who hear you. And lastly, the other passage there, Jude verse 20. Jude verse 20.
But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
See that? Building up yourself. So yeah, you need to build up yourself too. And that happens through praying and all those other things. So, Letter C, we need to have our faith built up. You see, Satan's goal is to tear down your faith. He shoots the fiery darts. That's why the Bible says, take up the shield of faith, wherewith ye may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Satan is the one shooting at our faith all the time. He attacks our faith. He wants us to doubt. He wants us to have question marks. That's all the more reason we need to have our faith built up. Maria?
Yesterday when we went out behind the door track, I mean every Tuesday the day before,
right.
I have an appointment with Anna Faisal where she has dance school. And then you said, well, do as much as you can.
Amen.
And, you know, just bring the rest back.
Right.
And it was just amazing how I was nervous at first because it was the first time.
Yes.
I was with the week, so I felt a little comfortable.
Amen. Yeah.
And as we were handing door charts, I was like,
amen.
I
don't
want to meet anybody.
I hear you.
Uh-huh. I did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so easy.
Amen.
To give them the door track, and then I gave
right.
them
good.
The publication. But yes. I felt so good already.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All the, and it didn't take us an hour, but no. I was saying how amazing it is. I mean, I just dedicated.
Right.
It wasn't a long
doesn't
time.
Have to take long.
Yeah.
Amen. And you know what? Seeds are sown, and praise the Lord. But that is true. The day before is when you're getting attacked. And Satan will attack. And we just need to constantly have our faith built up. Amen. Now, letter D. A church is to be a team where we support each other. All right? A church is supposed to be a team. Last year on the men's retreat, we had a great time. And the whole theme that the preacher preached about when we first came in, he gave every one of us guys a baseball card. And I still have that baseball card because it's a good reminder. And what he did was he took the whole weekend from the approach of, hey, you're on the Lord's team. Just like a baseball player's on a team. And you know what a team does is they help each other. They help each other through the slumps, right? Because every baseball player goes through slumps sometimes, even the best. You know, in 32 at bats, they get no hits. That's tough. But you know what? Every time they come back into the dugout, the other teammates are there saying, all right, you're going to get it next time. You're going to get it next time. And they're always there to encourage. They don't, you know, teammates don't tear each other down. Teammates don't say, come on, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you getting any hits? You know, they build each other up because they know they're going to, you know, everybody goes through a slump. You know, one week it might be that guy, but guess what? The next week it might be you. And, you know, we go through the ups and downs of life. So we need to be like a team where we all get the downs. We all get the difficulties. We need to pick each other up and support each other through those and have each other's back and relieve each other when we need to. We're supposed to be a team as a church. We're a team. We're members. Members of the same team. And that's what Paul is saying in 1 Thessalonians 5 is, hey, comfort each other. Edify each other. Don't tear each other down. Don't fight. You're on the same team. Don't fight each other. That's another goal of Satan. His goal is to get us fighting with each other. So that we lose focus of who the real enemy is. And sometimes Christians think their enemies are the ones sitting next to them in the pew. That's not your real enemy, alright? The real enemy is out there in the world. The real enemy is Satan. The real enemy is the people working for him. Don't let Satan get you out fighting each other. Because then you lose focus. You lose sight of what's really at stake.
And, so many good churches have been coming
petty things. And it happens. So we got to just keep our eye on the goal. All right, guys, we're a team. Our goal is to win together. The enemy's out there, not in here. And we got to remind ourselves of these things. So Paul is trying to encourage them like a team. And number one, he says, comfort the members. Number two, cherish the leaders. We need to cherish the leaders. Every team has a leader. Every team has a manager and different coaches. And, you know, again, I use baseball analogies simply because it's a sport that I enjoy. And, you know, that team, yeah, you got an owner. You have a manager. And not only that, then you have hitting coaches, pitching coaches. You have a first base coach, third base coach. There's all different leaders. Okay? And we need to cherish the leaders. And that's letter A. A very important relationship in the church is the one between the members and leaders. A very important relationship is the one between the members and the leaders. That's an important relationship. I read the comics this morning, and there was the one with the peanuts. And the two girls, Lucy and one of the other girls, they walk up to Charlie Brown. He's on the mound. They're like, come on, you're not pitching right. You're letting him hit the ball too high, and we can't, you know, we're getting dizzy trying to catch it. You're not pitching right. Come on, do better. So, all right, they go back out into the field, and then they come back after the next one. Come on, you're not pitching right. You're letting them hit it on the ground, and we don't feel like bending over to catch it. You got to pitch it right so they hit it right to us. You know, sometimes no matter what the leader does, it's just not good enough, right? And that's a tough thing. And we, you know, it's a long season, Charlie Brown says. It's going to be a long season. And that sometimes is how it is. The leaders have sometimes a difficult job as it is. And this is verse 12. Look at what it says. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. See? The church leaders. And admonish you. So, he says, you need to know them. You need to have a good relationship with them. And that's letter B. Members must have respect for the spiritual leaders in the church. All right? Members must have respect for the spiritual leaders in the church. And then letter C, members should get to know their spiritual leaders personally. All right? He says in verse 12, know them which are among you. Know them which labor among you. Get to know them. That might help. All right? So letter C, members should get to know their leaders. And letter D, God places people in positions of spiritual leadership. God puts people in positions. All right? God puts people in positions of spiritual leadership. He said in verse 12, they are over you in the Lord. In other words, the Lord has placed them there. All right? God places people in positions of spiritual leadership, and that is to be honored, the rest of the sentence says, despite your opinions of them. This is where we in the church need to put opinions aside, because everybody has opinions about how things should be and this and that. We all have our opinions, but we need to put those aside. One book quoted it like this. You need to have respect for them despite the fact, meaning the truth of the fact, that you may be older than them, you may know more than them, or whatever it may be. And that often may happen, especially if it's a young man that comes into a church. And, you know, some of the older members are there saying, you know, this kid was in diapers when I was an adult or something, you know. All right. And you know what? That's why Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. That's what Paul told Timothy. Let no man despise thy youth. You know, you be an example of the believer. And sometimes it is true. You know, they may be older. They may know more. They may have been saved longer than you. But God puts people in positions. And we need to respect that. All right, Adela? Moses dealt with it, and God dealt with those people that got too vocal about things, right? God puts people where He wants them, and sometimes there are big age differences, age gaps, and that's a challenge. But Paul says, hey, respect them for the fact that God put them there, despite your opinion, you know. And we all have opinions, but as they say, you know, opinions are like armpits. Everybody has a few, but you know, you don't need to go sharing them with everybody. Keep them to yourself, all right? And that's the better way to do it. Keep it to yourself. Now, verse 13. And he says, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. It's similar into any position. We may not agree with an individual, maybe even, let's just take it to a political realm. We may not agree with the president. We may not endorse what the president does. But nevertheless, still the president. We should respect that office, right? It's too many just like, you know, have the attitude of, well, if I don't approve of the individual, then I don't have to respect the individual. That's taking it too far. We still need to respect the individual. Okay? And that's letter E. They are to be held in high opinion for their work's sake. So you may not agree with the individual personally, but you still need to, as the Bible says, esteem them very highly for their work's sake. Just for the office, the sheer fact of their office. Respect the office. That's true in the church as well. And you know what? When we do that, letter F, it is as we honor this that we can experience peace. It's the only way we're going to have peace. Again, remember, Satan's goal is to have us to be at war within. But the Lord's goal is for us to have unity within. And if we're going to have peace, as verse 13 says, and be at peace among yourselves, this is a very important part of it. We need to have peace. We don't need war within our church. We need peace. And that's letter G. Many a church has been split because of factions over spiritual leaders. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 3. We'll look through some verses here. Many a church has been split over factions, meaning separate groups, over spiritual leaders. 1 Listen, spiritual leaders are as varied as anything else in the world. There are so many different styles. There are so many different types. And we need to just let it be that way. Okay? 1 Corinthians 3. If we go to verse 3, Paul says, ye are yet carnal, meaning you're living in the flesh. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, see, within one church we're talking about. Within this one church, there were divisions, he says. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now look at verse 4. Here were the divisions. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? There were different spiritual leaders. Apollos was one style of leader. Apollos was the more of the teacher kind of leader. The Bible says Apollos was a man who expounded the word of God, and he was more of a teacher type of leader. Whereas Paul was more of the missionary type of leader, the church planter, the one who traveled around and started churches, more of an evangelistic type of ministry. But this church in Corinth, there were some in the church who were saying, yeah, well, we think Apollos is the right kind of guy. And then the other folks on the other side of the church were saying, no, we think Paul's the right kind of guy. And there was division in the church over leadership styles. Well, we like this guy better. Well, we like this guy better. And they were fighting over it. That's a problem. Look at what he says in verse 5. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. He says, who are we? Who's Apollos? Who's Paul? We're nobodies. We're just servants of the Lord. You're not supposed to be siding with us. You're supposed to be following the Lord. It's not about following a man. It's about following the Lord. He says, don't pick sides. Look at verse 6. He says, hey, I planted. Right? Paul was the church planter. But Apollos watered. See, Apollos was the teacher, the discipler. After Paul would come and plant the church, Apollos would come and teach the church. But notice, verse 6, but God gave the increase. Who gets the glory? God does. Not Paul, not Apollos. It's not who's better than who. It's about the Lord. God gets the glory. God gives the increase. Look at verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. We're nobodies. We're just serving the Lord. We're doing what God has told us to do. But it says in verse 7, but that God giveth the increase. Right there again. One's the planter, one's the waterer. Guess what? You need both, don't you? If you don't have someone to plant, well then when the person comes to water, there's going to be nothing to water. And if you have somebody who plants but doesn't water, well then what was planted won't grow. You need both. So for this church to be picking sides, to say, well, we think Paul's better. No, we think Apollos is better. It's foolish. They're both important. They're both serving the same Lord. And God gets the glory. So the same is true here. The same is true in our church. There should be no factions, no splits over this. So God gets the glory, you see. The Lord giveth the increase. So 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 13. Esteem them highly for their work's sake. Despite opinions, despite whatever, we esteem them for their work's sake. All right? So comfort the members, cherish the leaders, and then number 3, challenge the weak. Challenge the weak. Because verses 14 and 15 discuss how there's other folks in the church that need some challenging, okay, in a good way. Because letter A, there will always be a wide variety of people in a local church. The local church will always have a wide variety of people. You will have your mature believers in the church who have been there for 30 years, faithfully in the church for 30 years or more. But then you'll have your new members who have only been coming for a few weeks, who are still learning the basics of the Bible and are still learning to grow. There's all, and everybody in between, all different types of folks in the church. And we need to realize that. There's going to be a great variety. And letter B, a good church will seek to meet the needs of believers in every stage of spiritual growth. We need to seek to meet the needs of everybody. If all we do is have ministries or teachings for the very mature believers and we neglect the new believers, well, that's bad. And if all we do is have something for the new believers and nothing for those mature believers who've been saved for 30 years, well, then we're not meeting their needs. If all we do is have stuff for the children and nothing for the adults, well, then we're not meeting everybody's needs. If all we do is have stuff for adults and not for children, you see, we have to meet everybody's needs. We have children, we have adults, we have new believers, we have mature believers. We have all wide variety of people in this church. All different types, all different backgrounds. And we need to meet the needs of all. And here in verse 14, Paul mentions three types. Paul mentions three types of believers. They're all believers, but they all need different things. Now look at verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. You know, there's unruly people in the church. Did you know that? Sure there are. Well, that's letter C. Some need to be warned into obedience. Yeah. Some people just need a good old-fashioned warning. Some need to be warned. Hey, listen, you better get right here. You know, there's a little bit of trouble here. You got to fix this. In a loving way, that could be told to a person, lovingly. But Paul said, hey, some folks need to be warned. Some folks need to be warned about things. Maybe they don't see the problem, and they need to be warned. Okay, very important. How about, though, the next part? Comfort the feeble-minded. There we go. And this is letter D. Some need to be cheered up. That's the idea of that phrase. Cheer up. Cheer up, my brother. Some need to be cheered up in their walk with God. Because, you know, some, the Bible says, feeble-minded, has the idea of being faint-hearted or a little bit timid about things, maybe apprehensive, maybe a little cautious, overly cautious, and they need to be cheered up. Hey, listen, it's going to be all right. You can do this. You're going to make it through. Look at Proverbs 12:25. So there's all different folks in the church, and you can be an encourager. Proverbs 12:25. Man, if somebody would like to read that for us. Yeah, you know, there's some folks that come to church with a heavy heart. Did you know that? And just one good word can lift up that heart. One good encouraging word can lift up a heavy heart. A lot of folks come to church with a heavy heart. And they may not show it. They might come in with the Sunday smile. Alright, and they may cover it up, the church face, you know. They cover it up, but inside they may be carrying a heavy heart. And we could be one to encourage them. You know, with a happy face, a smile, a handshake, whatever it is. We can cheer up people in the church. And then, the other part of 1 Thessalonians 5:14, he says, warn the unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, and support the weak. And that's letter E. Some need to be strengthened in their spiritual life. In other words, these are believers that are just a little bit weak. They're not strong spiritually yet. They need support. And the blank is strengthened. Some need to be strengthened in their spiritual life. Just a little bit of strengthening. Same idea of encouraging, but they're a little bit weak spiritually, for whatever reason. Okay? And we can be one that can support them and help them. And again, be an encourager. Say, hey, listen, we're here for you. Remember, the idea of being a team. Supporting each other. Helping each other. All right. Same thing on a, you know, again, thinking of a team. You have your veteran players on the team who've been playing for years and years, you know, 16 years. Some of these guys have been on the team. And then you got your rookies, first year. And it's the veteran players that come and help the rookies and say, hey, this is how we do things up here in this level. And this is how you can better play the game. And these are things I've learned in my last 16 seasons playing, you know, on this level. And the veteran players can teach the younger players. That's the same thing in church. No different. Same thing in church. The older veteran Christians can come and teach the younger Christians. Hey, this is how we do it. And this is the way you can do it. And this is what I've learned over my years. So we need to warn the unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. And then the last phrase, be patient toward all men. The key ingredient here is letter F. We must have great patience. This takes patience. You know why? Because the results don't happen overnight. We want overnight results. Sure we do. We want overnight change. And that's wonderful. Sometimes it does happen, but oftentimes it doesn't. And we need to give people the time, the patience to change. So Paul says, be patient toward all men. And you know, it's just like raising children, isn't it? You got to have patience a lot of times because we want them to get it right away, don't we? We expect our children to get it right away, and they don't always get it right away. Same thing in church. Same thing in church. We want people to understand right away. And, you know, somebody gets saved, and we expect them to, you know, okay, well, you're saved now. You better get it all right now. It doesn't always happen that way. We need to have patience. All right? And then lastly, look at 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Again, we're not supposed to be fighting each other. We're on the same team. Don't be rendering evil to each other. Render good. And that's letter G. Doing good to others should be what we are known for. You know, one of the main characteristics of a Christian should be that they are people that do good to others. People that help. People that are genuinely caring. That's the characteristic of a Christian. Okay? That we care for each other, that we help each other. Again, being on the same team, supporting each other, cheering each other up, comforting, whatever may be challenging sometimes. Sometimes we do need to challenge each other to encourage and say, hey, listen, you can do it. You can do a little better. Let's work together on this. We are all working together on this same team. And as the conclusion says, you know, we've been talking a lot about future events. It is wonderful, glorious thing to keep looking for the coming of Christ. But it's also very important that we keep walking down here on the sidewalks of life. At home, in the office, in the schoolroom, wherever we are. You know, we live in the here and now, don't we? Yeah, we plan for the future. Yeah, we're looking forward to heaven. We're looking forward to the wonderful blessings God has for us. But we also still have to live life now, don't we? And we have to be prepared. So that's what this is all about, church life, this chapter. And being on the same team, helping each other. All right? Next week, we're going to finish the book, verses 16 through 28. So if you want to get a head start, see what we're going to talk about next week. There's a lot of great commands in verses 16 through 28. So we'll finish it up next week. All right? So let's close in a word of prayer, and then we'll have a little bit of time before the morning service. And let's ask our brother Tony to close us in a word of prayer, please.